The 24 Shades of Blue Cold Case Edition is about real, ongoing investigations. The following conversation may be disturbing to some people and is not recommended for all ages. Viewer discretion is advised. It was Thursday evening on January 11th, 2007, when a lifeless body of Atik Chowdhury was discovered in his apartment located at 1818 Weston Road. Neighbors had been complaining about a pungent smell emanating from Atik's apartment. When the police arrived at the scene, Atik's body had already begun to decompose. Upon further investigation, it was found that he had been gagged and suffocated in his own apartment. The police were left with more questions than answers. To better understand the man behind the tragedy, we spoke with Atik's brother, who shared insights into his character and the impact he had on those around him.
Atik and I, we grew up in Bangladesh. And then back in 1995, we came to Canada. My uncle sponsored us after both my parents passed away. His childhood was pretty good, like normal child. He was attending school, social life, and always with families and friends, neighbors. So we did not see anything wrong with his childhood. But one thing he had in childhood, that he was never afraid of anything. If there was a problem, like some bad guys or somebody did something wrong or somebody attacked somebody or somebody attacked him, he was the kind of person that he was never afraid of go forward and to face that situation. So he was always brave and brave. I must say, he was very brave, not only brave. If I compare with me, I would put myself maybe 40 and I will score him 100. So I was always proud of him because he was never afraid of anything. Any problem, he must jump and he must go forward and he will try to figure it out. What is the situation? What is the problem? What happened? Something is injustice happening. He will go forward and he will try to save that person and figure it out. So he was kind of, from that point of view, he acted as a social responsible person. He used to go for community show, do break dancing. He also liked to sing Bangladeshi folk song. So he was also a music lover. So he was a local singer in the community, not like a famous, but local singer.
After getting sponsored by their uncle to move into Montreal, there was an adjustment period of living with their new lives in a foreign country and not knowing how to speak the language. Eventually, both brothers moved to Toronto and went their separate ways as they grew older, but that never broke the connection the two brothers had with each other.
Atik was always worried about me, like very affectionate, because I'm younger than him. So Atik always sometimes used to call me from Ryerson University. And I used to ask him, where are you? Where are you? Oh, Asif, I'm at Ryerson campus downtown. Okay. And he used to only ask me, Asif, you okay? You need anything? Even though he knew that he cannot do anything for me much. But because I'm his younger brother, he had affection and love for me.
This is 24 Shades of Blue Cold Case Edition. My name is Anime, the new host for this series. I'd like to welcome back Acting Detective Sergeant Steve Smith to the show. Thank you. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Thanks, Anime.
So this tragedy, these two young boys and their difficult lives coming to Canada, can you talk to me about what happened leading up to the events of Atik's murder?
Yeah, I mean, it's a terrible situation. On this evening, obviously, Mr. Chowdhury was residing at his residence, which was on Weston Road, above a storefront on Weston Road. He was receiving social assistance at the time, so he wasn't working, but he had his own apartment. He was, you know, living on his own. He was surviving. He was doing reasonably well. And unfortunately, on the night in question, well, not even the night, a couple nights before, because he was actually killed and left in his apartment, and he wasn't found for a couple of days until people actually started to smell decomposition. And that's when the police arrived and found that he'd been restrained, he'd been suffocated, he'd been stabbed. It was very, very personal killing, very personal killing.
So can we talk a little bit more about that discovery? So let's first talk about the apartment. What did the apartment look like?
Well, usually he had kept his apartment fairly neat inside. At this point, it was disheveled. So we believe that the people that had actually killed him had probably made a mess of his apartment as well. Now, whether they were looking for something or stealing things while they were in the process of murdering Mr. Chowdhury. But the apartment was disheveled when police arrived, and he was laying on the floor, as I said, bound, restrained, gagged, stabbed. A number of injuries. It was a terrible, terrible scene.
And I mean, we're looking at a photo right now of a door. Is this his door?
This is the door to his apartment. Like I said, it was above a storefront on Weston Road. So, you know, it's a busy road Ray area. But there were a number of apartments upstairs as well. So there were a number of tenants upstairs, and we're still actively investigating this. As I said, with the new science, it comes out every 6 months or so. We're re-examining the evidence in this case, and we're hoping that it leads us to the actual killer, because it's a very personal, very close contact killing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the door was ajar in the photo. Was it broken into?
Yeah. I mean, the police had to gain entry once people had called in about the smell. So it was shut, it was locked, and then police were able to gain entry, and that's when they found Mr. Chowdhury.
Mm-hmm. And so when we were talking about where he lived, it was above a storefront. And yep. So I see a lot of other stores. It's a furniture store. It looks like it's on a main street. And I mean, a pizza store is right next to it. So there's probably a lot of traffic there too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is old town Toronto, right? This is how Toronto used to be before we started tearing down all the small areas and building large condos, large apartment buildings. But at this time on Weston Road, this is exactly what it looked like. It was just residences up over the storefront. So you go up a set of staircase and there's a number, say 4, 8, residences, apartments in there, and there were that many residents that lived in close quarters.
Mm-hmm. And even condos, like I see condos behind this building too. So a lot of people, a lot of activity. And so we also talked about just the smell. And so you said that neighbors were smelling something, and that's why they alerted the police. So how long do you think he was there for? And deceased.
It would have been at least a few days, my opinion. Yeah, at least a few days. It really depends how hot they had it in the apartment, but for that sort of smell to permeate into the common areas, it would have been at least a few days.
And I mean, we're looking at another photo now behind the building, and you said that depending on the air condition and the temperatures, this does look like a little more run-down type of building from the back. I see graffiti everywhere. And I'm not sure if this is a legal staircase, but can you talk to me about the type of building and the type of people here?
Yeah, I mean, this is a fire escape in the back, and it's a laneway. And in Toronto, I mean, this is what a lot of them look like, right? It's old. They're old buildings. These buildings have been here for a long period of time. Most of them are fairly nice inside. The people that were living there, you know, they're working people. They're people on social assistance. Just people in the community that work and live in the community. Usually a lot of single people. There aren't a lot of family dwellings in these small apartment areas. They're usually one bedroom apartments, at the most two bedroom apartments. So it's usually an eclectic bunch of 4, 8 people living in there. And then, of course, who they bring over at certain times. Mm-hmm. As well.
And so I know you touched a little bit about his history. Can we talk more about his background and even his personality?
When the tragedies did strike his family, as his parents and his grandparents died, his uncle brought him over to Montreal. I mean, that's a tough transition. And then you come over and you're speaking French and English. And you're probably looking for other members of your community to spend time with and you know, help yourselves get integrated into the community. And that's why a lot of recent immigrants end up coming to Toronto, because we have such a diverse community. We have people from basically every country in the world here. So if you're looking for somebody to help you integrate into Canada, what a better place to come than Toronto. You come here and there's people of every nationality here to help you integrate.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think he came here older. He didn't come right as a child to Canada. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. He came as a young adult and then he transitioned to Montreal and then transitioned into Toronto as well.
Yeah. And I think transitions, even as an adult and learning a new language, I can't imagine the difficulty there.
Yeah. I mean, it just adds to the problems of integrating yourselves, right? Trying to find a job, having struggles with the language, those sort of things. And then you come to a big city and there's all these other things around you, right? There's the allures of what's going on in the city and what may be fun and happy. And I mean, by all accounts, he was just a happy go lucky kind of fella, kept to himself most of the time, but always, you know, upbeat and just enjoying his life.
So that's amazing. But you did mention he was on social insurance. So I'm just curious, what type of work did he do?
Yeah, we don't believe he was really working at the time. So he was collecting social assistance. I'm sure he was trying to look for work and such, but it's, you know, sometimes it's not the easiest job market to get into, especially with limited skills, limited ability to speak the languages, that sort of thing. So there's always challenges. So, you know, he was trying to do the best that he could at the time. But as I said, I mean, he'd had himself set up with a nice apartment. Things were going well. It was just a matter of him finding a job in due course.
Mm-hmm. I mean, personality-wise, you mentioned he was a happy-go-lucky guy. And so I'm just curious, for motives, were there any motives that you think involved herein?
I mean, again, it's a lot of speculation, but we do believe that there was some involvement with another resident in the apartment area where he lived. So we do believe that there are people that were living in the apartment at the time that do know what happened to Mr. Chowdhury. And we're hoping to be able to utilize science to be able to prove that. And then, you know, hopefully bring the people that did this to him to justice.
Mm-hmm. So you believe that someone in the area or even in the complex did something?
Yeah, we believe there's at least two, if not three people that know exactly what happened to Mr. Chowdhury. And we're hoping that over the past few years that these people have maybe gone their separate ways. And one of them realizes that we are starting to close in on these killers and they're willing to come forward and call Crime Stoppers and let us know exactly what happened in this case.
So the way he was murdered, I mean, the sound of it was gruesome. I'm sure there was so much noise that was happening. Were other people in around the area? They should have heard it, no? And then did anyone come forward?
You would think, right? I mean, we have this problem with a lot of our homicides that are in apartment complexes. When you see the scene and you see how gruesome it is and you realize that there was probably a struggle and it was loud and a lot of times people don't hear anything, which is shocking to us. But I mean, I guess when you're living in small apartment areas, there's probably a lot of noise that goes on and people probably ignore a lot of stuff that's going on around them. To say that, if this did involve people that were living in the same apartment area as he was, those may have been the persons that were closest to his apartment. So they would have been the ones that would have heard it and they were actually in there committing the offense at the time.
That makes sense. And so one thing, another aspect of his personality is that he was very neat. And the way the police have found his place, it was disheveled. So for me, I can only make the assumption that there was probably more than one person involved. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we believe at the minimum there was two, if not three people involved in this. Now, we'd like to be able to, you know, get the evidence to prove exactly who was there. But we do believe that there was more than one person.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to close off with some final remarks from Atiq's brother. So let's take a listen.
Nobody has rights to kill nobody. So he was murdered, brutally murdered and killed by someone who may look like us, who may look like a human, but they're not human. They're monsters. Worse than animal. I don't have a word to describe a person who got themselves involved into this kind of brutal murder and crime. If anyone around Atiq from that neighborhood or surroundings, anybody has any clue that that person may was dangerous for Atiq, I must request to all of you, please contact the police, help them out to find that person from the society. If that person is still around us, he may be roaming around beside you and me. It is not safe for you. It is not safe for me. It is not safe for our children. They are not safe for the society, for anyone. Do not neglect, do not ignore this dangerous incident that happened to my family. It could have happened to your family. You might have lost your brother or sister because of those people. So please take this very seriously and think of it that it happened to your family. If you knew who can do this kind of brutal things, and contact the police immediately to help them out to resolve this case and bring those people under justice.
You know, this was such a tragic and gruesome murder. And especially for those new to Canada, I know the family. They are missing him and they just want answers. And so if there is anyone out there who knows anything, please come forward to the police and support this case. So thank you so much for joining us, Acting Detective Sergeant Steve Smith. And thank you to all of you for listening in. This is 24 Shades of Blue.